Welcome to Brave, the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Jeff Schwarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. God has called his church to take the good news of Jesus into the world. That's our mission as disciples of Christ, and this ministry exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. To learn more about Brave or give a gift to help make programs like the one today possible, head to bravepastorjeff.com. Again, that's bravepastorjeff.com. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, When Adversity Escalates, and shows you how trusting in God's personal promises can help you navigate through prolonged challenges. Now let's hear from Pastor Jeff as he brings us today's teaching from God's Word.
All of us have plans for our lives, and when it comes to being a Christian, we center that plan on the Lord. And oftentimes we think because our plan is centered on the Lord and we want to do things His way, we know that according to His Word, it's going to work out. And yet, many times we go through challenging circumstances. Many times we go through adversity, and when we do, it's not as if that adversity lasts for a minute or an hour or a day or even a week. Sometimes they last for seasons, and sometimes it's because of our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ that we're enduring adversity. What do you do when adversity comes? How do you deal with it? When adversity actually escalates rather than quiets down, what choices do you have to make? I mean, the obvious answer is trust God. I mean, and that's an honest answer, and that's where we need to go. But what are some handlebars that we can put around that? Like, how specifically can I trust God when adversity comes? Because the Bible makes clear that no matter who you are, if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, you're going to go through adversity in this world. Every character in the Bible, including the Lord Jesus Christ himself, went through adversity. The challenge is, when adversity escalates, how should you respond? Like, what choices can you make in your trust with God so that you can continue to journey with the Lord? And if you're in that season now, God has a word for you today. And if you're not in that season now, keep breathing. Adversity hits. Adversity means it's something that you didn't choose, but is happening to you. And because it's happening to you, God wants you to know how to respond during these times of adversity so that you can continue forward as his servant. And to look at that today, we're going to begin in a brand new book. We're going to be in this book for the majority of this year. We'll break off and do some other things, but I invite you to open your book, Bible, to the book of Exodus. We're going to be in the book of Exodus, and some of you might say, well, that's an Old Testament book. What's that have to do with me? Here's the deal. Everything. From Genesis through Revelation, all of it is God's word. As a matter of fact, Jesus told the Pharisees, the religious leaders, in John chapter 5, verse 39, he said, "You diligently study the scriptures because you believe that in them you have eternal life. Yet these are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Jesus was saying everything in the Old Testament is a testimony of him. When we study the Old Testament, you're going to get a clearer and bigger picture as to who Jesus is. And I love the book of Exodus. I've been led to teach from here for quite some time. There's going to be some super familiar stories that we're going to talk about, like Moses at the burning bush and the plagues of Israel and the deliverance with the blood on the doorposts and the parting of the Red Sea and all the different things that you're aware of. But what we're going to see is that God is always faithful to deliver his people. But as our story starts out, you know that they're in bondage. And the reason for that is Genesis spells out the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you'll remember Jacob had 12 sons, and one son named Joseph, he gave a special coat of many colors. And Joseph flaunted that coat. Not only did he flaunt the coat, but then he had the audacity to tell his brothers his dream, which was the fact that all 11 would bow down and worship him. Apparently, the brothers didn't like that vision. So they sold him away. Joseph ends up going to Egypt. He becomes second in command as he goes through these different hardships. Now he's second in command to Pharaoh. There's a famine in the land, and the brothers have to come from Israel to Egypt to ask for help, not knowing that their brother Joseph is the one that they're talking to. And at the end of Genesis, we see in Genesis 50:20, Joseph tells his brothers, "What you intended for evil, God intended for good." He invites them all down, says, "Go back and get dad." And they all come back down to Egypt. And that's where they begin to reside. With Joseph being second in command, he saves the nation that God is going to use to build. And that's where our story picks up here in Exodus. So I encourage you this morning to open up your Bibles to Exodus. And we're going to talk about when adversity hits, when it escalates, what do we do? What do we do? Let's hear the word of the Lord this morning. First seven verses from Exodus say this. Now, these are the names of the sons of Israel who came out of Egypt with Jacob. They came each one with his household, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan, and Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. All the persons who came from the loins of Jacob were 70 in number, but Joseph was already in Egypt. Joseph died and his brothers all that generation, but the sons of Israel were fruitful and increased greatly and multiplied and became exceedingly mighty so that the land was filled with them. Now, as this story starts out in Exodus, Moses, who's the author of this book and the author of the first five books, which are often called the Pentateuch of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Moses is the author. He's trying to tie in this entire story. And really, he's talking about what's going on in the nation. And the first thing that you need to see here this morning is that when adversity escalates, trust in God's promises and the reality that he is personal. Trusting God's promises and the reality that he is personal. First, let's start with the fact that God is personal. You know, oftentimes when we come to church, we can go through religious routine. We can sing songs. We can raise our hands. We can clap. We can listen to the word of God being taught. We can stand. We can sit. We can go through the motions and all the time miss the very fact that God is personal. God is relational. God wants to have a relationship with you. What's really interesting about the story is God knows every single person by name that has traveled from Israel who is now living in Egypt. He lists the families of Joseph and who they are. I mean, and you see this family of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, and Benjamin, Dan and Naphtali, Gad and Asher. Those are Jacob's 12 sons. Now, here's what I love about this story, and we don't have time to get into all of it today, but do you know that these 12 sons in this one family come from four different mothers? I mean, you talk about the all-time messed up family. This would be a contender for that family. I mean, you have these first five sons that were birthed by Leah. You remember that Joseph had two wives? Because Joseph was smitten with Rachel. He loved her so much that his uncle Laban said, "You can have her, but you got to work for me for 7 years." And so he's like, done. And the Bible said 7 years seemed like a day to him. I mean, the brother was smitten with Rachel. It comes to the wedding night. Don't know what happened on the wedding night, but when he woke up the next day, Rachel wasn't there. He's laying next to Leah. And you get the picture from the Bible, like, it's Leah. The Bible says she was weak in the eyes. I mean, she wasn't all that fine, right? And he's upset, so he goes to his uncle, he's like, no, I wanted Rachel. He goes, no, you don't understand. The tradition is we give the oldest away first. You have to work for me another 7 years. He's like, that's done. I'll take Rachel. Well, between Leah and Rachel, there was this childbirth competition because Rachel couldn't conceive. Leah did. She gave him sons. Every time she gave him sons, he'll love me. But he didn't love her the way he loved Rachel. So then she decided there were also two maidservants involved. You remember that Rachel had a maidservant who gave birth to Dan and Naphtali, and Leah had a maidservant that gave birth to Dan and Asher. So now you got four moms in this one family, and there's tension going on. So by the time Joseph, who's the favored child, because he's the firstborn of Rachel, comes around with his coat of many colors and he's flaunting, the brothers have had enough. They lie to their dad, they tear up the coat, say he was killed by a wild animal, and they don't want to think about him ever again. But because of the famine in the land, they end up back there, and God sovereignly worked together a plan. And here's what God's saying. All of them, they were 70 in number. God knows all the men. He knows all the women. He knows them all by name. Here's what you need to know. God knows you by name. He knows you personally. Having a relationship with God is not just a religious activity that you try to do before you die in hopes that your good outweighs your bad. That's religion. It won't do much for you. A personal relationship is when you have a relationship with God, when you can relate to him like you can to any other person. Even when Jesus teaches his disciples to pray, how does he start the prayer? He doesn't start the prayer, Lord God. He starts it how? Our Father. Father, it's relational. Having a relationship with the God of the universe through the person of Jesus Christ is essential for you to grow in your faith. And when adversity strikes, don't try to be more religious. Try to grow in your relationship with the one who knows you and loves you. He knows your desires. He knows your hurts. He knows your emotions. He knows why you're feeling the emotions that you're feeling, even if you can't explain. Why am I feeling the way that I'm feeling? He knows. He created you. He formed you together in your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says that you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and all your days were ordained for you before one of them came to be.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, When Adversity Escalates, from the series Exodus, showing you how trusting in God's personal promises can help you navigate through prolonged challenges. We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but first, we want to help you be ready to courageously stand for kingdom values each day. That's why we want to invite you to become a Brave Warrior by signing up for email updates from Pastor Jeff. As a Brave Warrior, you'll get exclusive first-look access to exciting new content, ministry updates, and resources to help you fight the good fight of faith and boldly pursue the fulfillment of the Great Commission. To become a Brave Warrior, simply go to BravePastorJeff.com to sign up. Once again, that website is BravePastorJeff.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Now, let's get back to Pastor Jeff to listen to the conclusion of his teaching from God's Word today.
It means God set the birth date and the death date for you before you were even born. It also means in Acts 17 that you were placed in this specific generation for God to do something specifically through you now. So it's not like, I wish I was born 40 years from now, or if I would have been born 200 years ago. God has you alive right now in this season for his reason. And guess what? He knows you by name. He loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Our God is personal. Don't miss that. Because I find that when adversity hits, oftentimes in the life of a believer, we try to get more religious in hopes that God will do more for us. Things get hard, and I got to start giving money. I got to start attending church more. Maybe I join a small group now. Then maybe God will... No, grow in your relationship with him. Grow in your relationship with him. And when adversity escalates, trust in God's promises as well as the reality that he's personal. God made great promises to the nation of Israel. He made the Abrahamic covenant in Genesis chapter 12, and he confirmed it in Genesis chapter 15. He told Abram, he goes, I'm going to make you a great nation, a father of many. I mean, that your descendants will outnumber the grains of sand. The only problem was Abraham didn't have any children and his wife was barren. And God said, this is my plan. Why? Because God wanted to know that when God established the nation of Israel, it was God. It wasn't man's idea. God is the one who does this. God is the one who opens the door. God is the one who's doing it. God is personal. He knows every single person by name. He knows you by name. And you can hold him to his promises. Did you know that? God loves it when we take his word seriously and we hold him to his promises. God is personal and faithful to his promises in every generation. He has not forgotten you. So when you read John 15:15, and Jesus says, I have called you friends. Guess what you are? You're a friend of God. A friend. God's personal love and redemption endures in every generation. And when we read in the New Testament that all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We read that in 2 Corinthians 1:20. We know that they're true. Like in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, he says this, call upon me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you don't know. That's not a religious call. That is the God of the universe saying, I love you so much and care for you so much. I want to have relationship with you. I want to share with you things you don't know about who you are, about the world that you're living in. Call on me. Let's have a relationship. Let's talk with one another. Let's get to know each other. I know everything about you, but there's still some things that you can learn about me. Amen? It's an invitation. Hold God to his promises. You say, well, what are some of the promises? Now, we've gone over this before, but I'll give you a few this morning because I think they're important that we highlight this. We sang a song this morning that comes from one of my favorite psalms in the whole Bible, Psalm 27. You know what Psalm 27, verse 13 says? I love this in times of adversity. I love it when I'm pinned up against the wall. I love it when I'm wondering, I don't see how there's a way out of this. Psalm 27, verse 13 says, I would have despaired had I not believed I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what that means? I would be desperate right now if I didn't believe that God was going to move on this side of heaven. I'm not just waiting for the rapture. I'm just not waiting until I die and then it's going to get better. I would be desperate if I didn't believe that I would see God's goodness in the land of the living. Psalm 23, God's goodness and mercy chases us down and overtakes us. We'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God's goodness is coming after you. God's love is coming after you. You can claim that promise. Because when you're going through adversity, there's a tendency to forget the relationship that God has with you. And you begin to think, because the enemy lies to you, you're all alone, you did something wrong, God doesn't love you, how come it's not going well for you and it's going well for all these other people? No, the reality is, sometimes because you're walking with the Lord, and sometimes because you're doing the right thing, and sometimes because you're honoring him, adversity strikes. The Bible makes a promise, anyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. It's a guarantee. But Isaiah 43 tells us, fear not, don't be afraid, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you, and the fires, you won't be burned, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. Nothing can take you out because I'm your God. Hold on to that promise. Or Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for prosperity and not for harm. Plans for hope and a good future. When you're desperate and adversity is escalating and it's rising, these are great promises to hold on to when you can't see the end of it. When you're wondering, how long, oh Lord? How long's my kid gonna be wayward? How long's our marriage gonna struggle? How long is it going to be difficult in my job? How long are we going to stress about our finances? How long until I'm recognized for what I do? I mean, you gave me these promises, but I'm having a hard time walking them out. How long? These are great promises to hang on to. And for some of you, like, well, that's Old Testament stuff. Let me tell you, the Old Testament is the Word of God as well. Amen? You can hold on to the Old Testament, but just so you know, the New Testament has a lot to say too. Matthew 11, Jesus says in verses 28 to 30, come to me. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I mean, that's a verse for somebody here. That's all you needed to hear today. You're stressed and you need rest. And Jesus is saying relationally, come to me. In the midst of all your circumstances, come to me. I'll give you rest. Some of you stressed about money. Philippians 4:19 says, my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. 2 Peter 1:3, I don't know what to do. I'm not a mature enough Christian. 2 Peter 1:3 says, God has given you everything that you need pertaining to life and godliness. Yeah, but you don't understand, Pastor Jeff. I'm kind of new to this Christian thing, or I'm not new to this Christian thing, but I'm living in sin. I know Jesus is the Lord of my life, but I can't get over the hump. I mean, I'm embarrassed by my sinful patterns. Well, 1 John 1:8 through 10 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins. And what else? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, hey, you pagan sinners out there that aren't feeling worthy, come to Christ, confess your sin. He will wash it all away. It's his promise. Is that good news or what? Stop living in guilt and shame and receive the forgiveness of Christ. And then there's this other part too. I know when I go through times of adversity, you know, where the enemy lies in my ear and says, you're a pastor, you shouldn't be going through this. I mean, you've given your whole life for this and how come it's you? And I start feeling like I'm not winning this battle. God tells me he's already won the battle. He says in Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and following, but in all things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. You know what that means? Yeah, Pastor Jeff, but I've wandered. I used to know the truth, but I've wandered. Let me tell you something, authority of God's word. Nothing can separate you from his love. Come home to him today. He loves you. He loved you so much. He came and died on a cross for all your sins, was buried and got out of the grave so that you could hear the words today that you are loved by God. Amen. Amen. God wants to have a personal relationship with you. And isn't it true? Sometimes we go through adversity. That's how the relationship grows. All of your closest friends that you have in life, you've been through adversity with. All of them. You think about who your closest friends are. They've been there for you. You've been there for them. You've done this. You've rubbed on each other. You've helped each other. You've lifted each other up. You've carried each other's burdens. God said, let me be that with you. I love you with an unconditional love. So during times of adversity, when it escalates, when it rises, trust in God's promises and the reality that he's personal. Second is this, when adversity rises and escalates, trust in God's purposes for all your circumstances. Trust in God's purposes for all your circumstances. Do you know that God has a purpose for everything that you're going through? That nothing that you're going through right now is happenstance? Notice what happened to Israel as they're in the nation of Egypt. It says, now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. There's been a change in government. This king, the first king, knew Joseph, put him as number two in command. This new king doesn't know Joseph. In other words, it's also saying, I don't care about who Joseph is. I don't care about who Israel is. I don't care. I'm a patriot for Egypt. So who gives a rip about Israel? That's his thought. And he said to the people, behold, the people of the sons of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come, let us deal wisely with them, or else they will multiply. And in the event of war, they will also join themselves to those who hate us and fight against us and depart from us. So they appointed taskmasters over them to afflict them with hard labor. And they built for Pharaoh storage cities in Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and the more they spread out, so that they were in dread of the sons of Israel. The Egyptians compelled the sons of Israel to labor rigorously, and when they had made their lives bitter with hard labor in mortar and bricks and all kinds of labor in the field and all the labors which they had rigorously imposed on them. So here's the deal. Israel follows God's leading to get into Egypt. Everything's going well. There was a famine in the land, and because of their brother Joseph, they were able to eat and survive. But guess what? All the patriarchs died out. All their families died out. New king arises and says, I don't really know this Joseph guy, and I don't care about Israel. All I know is that they're big and that they're mighty, and I'm a little bit paranoid because they don't have Egyptian nationalism, and if we don't do something to get rid of them and to make it hard for them, if somebody ever turned on us, they'd join forces against us. We can't do this. So here's the plan. Let's make it extremely difficult for them. And so they forced them to work. Not like any kind of work, like slave work, like 24/7, 365. No days off, no vacation time, no PTO. All day long, what are you doing? You're working in the field, you're gleaning straw to make bricks, or you're making bricks, or you're building buildings, all for the sake of making Egypt grow. Seemingly, nobody cares for you and the nation of Israel. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt that you're following the Lord, and as you're following the Lord, because you're following the Lord, it gets harder for you? You're following the Lord, and now in the workplace, because you're outspoken about your relationship with Christ and who you are, things have become more difficult for you. Or in school, they're more difficult for you. Or in your family, it's more difficult for you. And you feel as if you're all alone. And because of your relationship with Christ, there's a heavy weight placed on you. That's exactly what was going on here. I mean, Israel was doing the things that God wanted them to do, and instead of getting easier, it got harder. Friends, let me just tell you this. Some people preach a gospel that says, if you trust in Jesus, everything in your life will get better, and it will get better immediately, and it will never, ever be worse. It's just not biblical. It sounds really good. I mean, the reality is, when you trust Christ, you will go through hardships. Jesus said in John 16:33, in this world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Sometimes it's because of what we're doing that we're a target of the enemy. Sometimes it's because we're walking with the Lord that things become more difficult. And during those times, you need to trust in God's purposes for all your circumstances. Know this about your circumstances. Think about the ones you're in now, or you've been in, or you're going into, and you think to yourself, this is so bad. This isn't helping me. This isn't helping the kingdom. This is hard. How come my life's not flourishing? Let me tell you this. God is sovereign and intentional with all your circumstances, especially your difficult ones. God is using what you're doing now, not only to be a blessing to you and bring you out, but to be a blessing to others in the process. Especially when you feel alone, when you feel mistreated, when you feel that nobody cares, when you feel that you're between that infamous rock and a hard place, and you love the Lord and you're doing things for the Lord, and guess what? It's hard.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, When Adversity Escalates, from the series Exodus, showing you how trusting in God's personal promises can help you navigate through prolonged challenges. If you've been blessed by today's teaching, we invite you to give a gift to help keep this program going strong. To give, visit BravePastorJeff.com. That's BravePastorJeff.com. But before we wrap up, we also would like to invite you to join us for weekend services at Brave Church. Visit in person at any of our campuses. Englewood, Westminster, and our newest location in Colorado Springs. Or you can join us right from home through our weekend live stream. Visit bravechurch.online. Scroll down and click the Brave Church link at the bottom for details and directions. Thanks for joining us today.